Hi, everyone. I'm Daniel. So this talk is about our new caching system called Robinhood, which is the new and the first caching system that is tail latency aware. All right, so this is joint work with Ben and Moore at CMU, just as we heard, Timmy at Penn State, and Sid at Microsoft. We're all here, so you can all meet us here. All right, so we will start by looking at a typical web architecture, as you would find it behind Xbox.com and other e-commerce platforms. So a user request in these systems enters the data center, and it first terminates at what we call an aggregation server. The previous talk called that a mid-tier server. The purpose of the aggregation server is to query all kinds of backend systems and to aggregate these results, package them, and send them back to the user. You can have many different backend systems, such as a product catalog database, a recommender system, a ad serving system, and tens of other backends, right? And a single user request can spawn hundreds of backend queries. Now we measure the latency of each of these queries as the query latency. And the overall request latency is the maximum of all of these. We have to wait for the last query in the system. Now, in this case, one request spawns a query to every backend system. But we've seen in practice that you can have other cases where another request comes in and it heavily queries one product catalog database and doesn't send any recommender systems. So across all of these different types of requests, our goal is to minimize the 99th percentile of the request level latency. So the challenge here is that we have the tail of the request, which in itself depends on the maximum across all of these queries. Now, what causes high request latency in practice? To answer this, we performed measurements at Xbox.com in March this year. We measured the query P99 latency for these three backends and many others, but those three were the worst ones. And we see in each of them some latency spike over the course of a typical day. For example, this product database has a latency spike in the morning, the recommender system has a latency spike in the afternoon, and the ad serving system at night for some reason. Now, since we look at the request latency, if any backend spikes, the request latency spikes, another backend spikes, and again we have to wait. So our goal in minimizing the request latency is to cut down on these latency spikes. Now, the first idea you might be thinking, maybe we could reduce the product catalog spike in the morning by shifting some traffic to another system, doing better load balancing. Now, unfortunately, that doesn't work because all of these backend systems, they're heavily specialized, distributed systems in their own right. The recommender system can't answer any product catalog queries. What else could you be doing? Well, clearly another idea would be to elastically scale these backends. If you have a spike, you add more servers. Now, unfortunately, that is very challenging with these types of systems because these are stateful services, and there might be different web services using that same system, so you have different performance requirements. In fact, this is already partially implemented, and we still have these latency spikes in these systems. So what else could we be doing? Well, in this talk, we'll take the role of the aggregation server. We don't have any control over what the query latencies do in the backends. What we do have control over is a local cache called the aggregation cache. Currently, that cache is just shared freely among all the different backend systems. What we propose is to ask, can we use this aggregation cache to reduce the P99 request latency? Now, if we generalize this question, if we ask a systems audience, can we use caching to reduce the P99? Do you believe that's true? Many people I talk to believe that no. The reason is the following mental model. If you have a cache that is really fast, has a 1 millisecond response time, and a backend that is 100 times slower. Now, even if you have a high hit ratio like 90%, 10% of the queries will still go to that slow backend, so your P99 is 100 milliseconds. The cache doesn't help, right? Now, even if we improve this hit ratio to 95%, still 5% to the backend, still P99 100 milliseconds. This observation has been stated in the tail at scale paper, where it says the caching layer does not directly address tail latency aside from configurations where the entire working set fits into the cache. Now, in practice, working sets don't fit into the cache. As a consequence of this, state-of-the-art caching systems focus on hit ratio and fairness, all secondary properties. They don't focus on optimizing the P99 directly. Now, we propose to optimize the P99, so how can we do that? So let's take a step back. Let's look at this picture again. Do we actually believe this model we see here? The first striking feature here is that the backend latency is deterministic. Is that a true story? Is backend latency deterministic? Typically not, right? Typically, we know that there's a huge variability in backend latencies, often an order of magnitude between the P50 and the tail. Now, let's modify this example. Let's say 85% of the time, we get a 50 millisecond latency and 15% a 500 millisecond latency. We haven't changed the average. Now, if we look again at the P99, with a 90% hit ratio, now it's 500 milliseconds. Because 1.5% of all the queries go to this 500 millisecond backend. But if we can actually improve the latency, the hit ratio to 95%, suddenly less than 1% take the 500 millisecond path and the P99 changes. We can exploit this variability in backend latency. And that way, caches can actually reduce the P99 request latency. Now, how effective is that in practice? How effective is that in a web system as we saw before? Now, let's go back to our system where request comes in and depends on these many backend queries, and the backend query is highly variable. What we observe typically in one of those latency spikes is that a load in one of the backends is rather high. What happens if the load is rather high? So on the right here, I will plot how the latency behaves as a function of load. We've all seen these curves in distributed systems. It's always a convex shape like this. Now, during a latency spike, we have high load in one of these backend systems. And so we're on the right end of this curve, where a small reduction in load can have an outsized impact on the query latency. This is what we propose to exploit. With Robinhood, we want to build a caching system that gives more cache to the bottleneck backend system with high latency, reduces their load, and thus have a huge impact on the overall P99. Now, conceptually, we partition the cache, and a roughly good idea is to just allocate some cache space to the high latency systems. We'll see in a bit how we have to revise that. But basically, in this example, when the product catalog database has high latency, we would increase the share of the cache that goes there, thus decreasing the load on that backend and improving the overall performance. And then later in the day, when the recommender system has very high load, we would increase the share of the cache that goes to the recommender system, and again, we would improve the overall performance. All in all, we built this caching system called Robinhood, which steals from the cash rich and gives to the cash poor. This is why we chose that name. And it partitions dynamically the aggregation cache we saw before, and that way builds the first caching system that minimizes the request P99 in practice. Of course, we also made sure that this is deployable on an off-the-shelf software stack, and that we actually can scale this as we add more backends and aggregation servers. Now, in the following, I'll explain to you the details of how this actually works, then how we implement this, and then we'll get to see some evaluation results. All right, let's get started by how do we partition the cache. The first step in doing this is that we will impose a tax on every backend system. Every 5 seconds, we take away 1% of every backend's cache. Now, Robinhood has all of this cash. How do we redistribute the cash? The first idea we've already seen, we could allocate this cache space to all the high latency backends. That was the first idea we had. It turns out it doesn't work in practice. The reason is, as you might recall, that not all requests look the same. So you can have two requests that depend on backend systems differently. Here's a very simple example to explain the problem. Let's say we have one type of requests, which depends on the green and the purple backend, and another one, which depends only on the red backend. Now, if somehow the red backend has very high latency, we would be allocating all our resources to that backend. But because it makes up only half the percent of all the user requests, it is very unlikely to affect the P99 request latency. So we would be wasting cache space on the red backend. Now, this is a very simple example, but you can imagine with hundreds of types of different requests, which each depend on hundreds of backend queries, it's very hard to figure out what's going on. What we really need to do when redistributing the cache is figure out which backends actually are causing the request P99. Instead of looking at the query latency, we want to figure out the effect on the request latency. Okay, how do we do this? Turns out it's not that hard. We measure the request latencies. Every 5 seconds, we sort them from the P0, the lowest, to the P100, the highest. We then identify the P99 request, and we figure out which backend was on the critical path, which backend blocked this request. And then we could just allocate resources to that. Turns out, in practice, you have to revise that a little bit, because just getting one measurement result every 5 seconds is very inefficient. Typically, there's not just one backend that has high latency or load. So what we do in practice is we look at a neighborhood around the P99, between the P98.5 and the P99.5, where these are all the requests that are likely to affect the P99 request latency. For all of these, we again compute which backend blocked these requests. And that way, we get what we call the request blocking count, where for each backend, we figure out how often did it block a request in the neighborhood of the P99. We then allocate our 1% of cache space in proportion to the RBC distribution, these request blocking counts. How would you implement that in practice? Well, if we go back to the architecture we saw before, in the aggregation server, we would add a simple component, the Robinhood controller, which goes and ingests these RBC measurements and calculates the new allocation and enforces it in the local cache. All of that happens off the typical request path and thus doesn't impose any overhead. Does this work in practice? Well, I've been lying to you. There's not just a single aggregation cache here and a single aggregation server. In practice, we have many of them, obviously, right? And so now we have to have a Robinhood controller for each of them, which leads to a distributed version of Robinhood. Now, the problem here is that in doing our measurements, we only take 1% of the measurement data. We throw away 99% of all of that. And we still have to get enough measurements to realize how often each backend blocked a request in the neighborhood of the P99. The problem is by having local measurements only for each server, because each server processes only a small fraction of all the requests, we will waste a lot of the data. We will not get a sufficient number of tail data points. We solve this problem by pooling the measurements across all of these servers using a central fault-tolerant statistics buffer. Okay, now that is the rough idea how you would implement that in practice. In our test bed, we would add on top, or we've added on top of this, a request generator which replaces production traces from Microsoft's Xbox.com and Microsoft.com e-commerce websites. We do that at several hours at a time and use several 16 different aggregation servers with a typical hardware configuration as you would use them. We then have 20 different backend systems, which are all unique and diverse, each of them having several different servers as a cluster. We tried to match these backend systems to the performance characteristics in practice by having some backends that are I/O bound, others that are CPU bound, like a matrix multiplication system that works similar to a recommender system in practice. Now, as a last step, we emulate query latency spikes on all of these in our testbed by limiting the resources that each backend cluster has available. That way, we emulate query latency spikes with similar amplitudes and frequencies as you would see them in practice. Now, I'm sure you're finally ready to see some evaluation results for the system. So in the Microsoft original configuration, we see the following request P99 latency over several hours in the experiment. So we added a dashed line at 150 milliseconds, which is the overall latency goal of the system. You can see that there are several query latency spikes, which translate in request latency spike, which make the system violate our SLO several times in this experiment. We also compared to several other caching systems, but none of them share our goal of reducing the P99. So another goal that caching systems have is, for example, maximizing the overall hit ratio. However, that is not latency aware, and in this case ends up pushing the overall latency above 500 milliseconds, so we can't even see that in that graph. We also considered ideas such as balancing query latencies and several other systems in the paper. Balancing query latencies is a much more reasonable approach, but as we've seen before, just allocating to high latency backends is not the right idea because you can have backends that just don't matter for the request P99. Finally, with Robinhood, we have a system that actually affects the P99 request latency. You can see here that it rarely violates this SLO goal of 150 milliseconds. It achieves this by shifting around massive amounts of cache space to those backends that are currently the bottleneck. Overall, the reason why Robinhood is so efficient is that under the hood, it makes a trade-off. It discriminates, it sacrifices the performance of some backends where we've seen up to 2.5 times higher latency, but it also improves the latency of bottlenecks that actually matter for the request latency. Typically, we see a 4 times improvement there. And that actually reduces the request latency. Now, in my conclusion, I would like to answer 3 questions that we posed in this talk. The first is it possible to use caches to reduce and improve the request P99? We think yes, surprisingly. We've seen huge reductions in P99 spikes and SLO violations. The key idea there was to use the cache as a new type of load balancer with regard to this RBC load metric. Is this feasible in production? We would again argue yes, because we've shown that you can build this on an off-the-shelf software stack. This idea also works orthogonally to existing latency techniques, such as load balancing and data quality trade-offs. Finally, is this the optimal solution? Well, we still have lots to do. The key problem, the key insight in our paper was that we have to look at how a request depends on all these backend systems. We plan to study that better so we can quantify the effect that request structures have on the optimal allocation. With that said, our post is 31, and I'm happy to take your questions. Thank you.
Any questions?
Hi, Cheng Tang from NYU. Excellent talk. So I'm curious, have you evaluated 99.5 latency? Since
yes.
It might dramatically increase.
Right.
Since you only focus on 99.
Yeah. So the question was, have we evaluated other percentiles such as the 99.5?
Exactly.
Well, clearly our system focuses on a single latency. We've seen that lower latencies typically get a little bit worse, not too much. Higher latencies do get worse in our system. If you care about other latency percentiles, there's no reason why you couldn't put that into our system. If you just want to have another neighborhood in there, we could totally do that as well.
So can you comment a little bit, give me some hint about how the increment is that? Is that 10x more, or is it 100 or 1,000?
It's 60%.
Okay, thank you.
All right, maybe I can ask a question too. So tail events are happening because something's happening at the server in the background. That thing can be either a very short event or a very long event.
Yes.
How short can it be for your solution to still be effective? Because you take some time to detect, to reallocate, and I need to warm up that cache. So how short of an event can you handle?
Yes. So just to answer the question immediately, how short of an event can we handle? It takes us several minutes to tens of minutes to react. We're not talking about seconds of reaction time. However, most events that we actually see in practice are not faults. They're actually shifts in load somewhere down the stack, which actually start not immediately, but ramp up a little bit over time. Typically, that's the same order of magnitude.
Hello, Alexandru Farcasanu from Google. So have you tried using request edging for lowering your tail latency in the Xbox case? And why is that maybe not working?
Can you repeat that? Have we tried?
Hedging the requests.
Oh, sending a redundant request.
Right.
I would argue that is, we haven't tried that, but that is a very orthogonal request. I mean, you can do that in addition to what we do. I mean, if we add more load to the system, in this case, it would probably not work, because frequently the problem is already a highly loaded service in the back end. But we haven't tried that in our evaluation.
Okay, thanks.
Let's take one last question there.
Hi, I'm Jenny Song from Princeton. I wonder what's the normal hit rate like in your system when you're testing? Because the hit rate in the cache really affects the throughput of the back end, and the higher the hit rate, it will be higher effect of the like how many reduction for the back end. So I can intuitively think if the hit rate is 99%, use this kind of scheme, you can achieve very good reduction of 99% latency. But yeah, I just don't know like what's the normal like hit rate you achieve.
So to repeat the question is, what is the typical hit rate in our system?
Yeah, in your workload.
So it's very hard to answer because there's 20 different backend systems. Every backend system has a very, very different workloads. We have hit rates anywhere between 50 and 98%. Most of the backends, most of those that we end up affecting, have a hit rate somewhere in the 70 to 80% range. And we usually boost that by 5 to 10% by giving more cache space. We're not at the tail end of the hit ratios in this case at all.
Thank you.